Mic check, mic check. You are now listening to the number one podcast that brings you motivation, education, and inspiration from faith-based entrepreneurs who walk by faith and trust God with their success story. They are disruptors within the business world, extraordinary college students with a dream, entrepreneurs creating solutions to problems they see on earth, and artists that are changing the game. As the pretty plug, I want to show you that your business model can be centered around faith, and I intend to plug you in to the stories of these inspirational beings doing just that. These episodes are proudly produced by Faith Tech Grow LLC, a production team where we amplify your mission and purpose to another level. Let's tune in to this week's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode on the Wild by Faith Show. One, it's Wednesday, y'all. I don't know if you're driving in your car. I don't know if you're on your way to work. I don't know if you're getting off work. I don't know if you're cooking dinner. But I just got to say thank you for just tuning in to another episode on the show. I must ask, can you all please rate and review this podcast? Give it a 5-star rating. Give us a review, a comment, a like, a share on social media so I know who you are, who's listening, and that I can continue to produce content just for you. Now, y'all know it's Wednesday, and we walk by faith every single Wednesday by educating, motivating, and inspiring you to be all that you are called to be. And I got a special guest today. This man got married when he was in college. He is a father. He is a husband. He writes music. He is just all about faith and just building people up and making sure that they can move forward in their dreams and their goals with music as his cornerstone. And y'all know we like music, okay? Everybody can get down with the get down by just turning on their iPhone, they Mac, their computers, their phones in general. And I got a man here that helps you write the music to those songs. So I want to just introduce none other than Mr. Isaiah here today. Isaiah, how you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can you tell the people who you are, and then we'll go into what you do?
Well, I'm Isaiah Archie. I'm a songwriter. I go by PA the Writer. I'm a father and a husband. And PV, you know, we in the building.
This is my PV brother, y'all. This is PV alumni. We stay deep up in here. I love when I get to interview my PV family. Now listen, Isaiah, when you was at PV, you did some very unaverage-like things. You decided that you was going to date somebody and you was going to get married while you was in school. Can you please tell the audience what that was about? How did you find your woman? How has your woman impacted you? Break down your love life, because at this point, we all want to know.
Okay, well, it happened unexpectedly. I was in SR Collins, let me just put it like that. And it was a class, what was the class? It was like a computer class, but I used to go in there because it was a girl in there that I liked. So I always used to go in there early to act like I was doing work just so I can look at her. I'm not a stalker, but just so I can look at her and we can make a connection. So I had a mutual friend that was partners with her on a project. So I basically slid him a letter. I said, give this to her. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I said, please, bro, please. So he ended up giving it to her, and I didn't get a call. So I'm like, I don't even know if he did it. And every time I see her, I'm like, maybe she did get it. She ain't want to talk to me. And then, like, one day, I just happened to go outside, and she was out there. She was like, give me your phone, and she put a number in it. Then we started texting, and then we went on our first date, a day or two later? And then fast forward a week later, that's when we got official. And then 6 weeks after that, I proposed.
Okay. What was going through your mind? Like, this is a month and a half. And you was like, no, you wifey type. You a autumn girl. You know, we back in, the Christian girls. We back in after the hot girl summer. But, like, what made you say, I have to commit? This is important.
No, it just, like, basically, she was basically everything that I asked for during conversation. I see that she was got her head on right. She was in school. She was going to church. She was doing all the things that my, not to compare it to my mom, but like basically like a mom figure. And that's somebody I needed, the one that had their head on straight and to push me to be better.
Dang. So ladies out there, it's possible. Okay. It is possible. It can happen. God can look, whatever he's done for Isaiah and his woman, he can do it for you. Okay. And I just want to go into now, like, your love for music. Where did that come from? How did you know that you had a gift for music?
Gift, that goes back to, I'll say, when I was around 5, me and my cousins, we used to have like a little karaoke machine on our little Xbox. And we used to make catchy, I used to make the hooks. And everybody used to start dancing to it. And then when it got later on down in life, they was like, you need to start taking this serious. So I finally started taking it serious and making songs that people love. And that's why I'm here today.
That's why you're here today. So yeah. What is the process of writing songs? Is it that you get inspired? Like, what is your inspirations for the music that you create?
I'll basically say it's like life stories, like what goes on in life, not just my life, but things that I see in life and how other people relationships is. That's why I'm like so much on R&B. I really don't really like the rap stuff. I just do that part for fun. But R&B is when I tell real stories and what happens in life.
Okay. So, one, by the time you got to Prairie View, were you already writing music? Like, since you were 5, so when you went to Prairie View, were you already writing music and were you fully functioning in that gift, or did that get on pause?
Yeah, I was writing music, but it was like on a low budget scale because I didn't have like the best quality. I didn't have none of the expensive stuff that I use today, like for a studio time. I was just recording off a laptop. But nowadays, it's like it gotta be mixed, mastered. You gotta have the tags out the beat. It's like so much that goes into it.
What's a tag? I don't know about it.
A tag is like when a beat is playing and you hear in the background, purchase this beat today, or say, just for instance, Piano Man on the beat, and you keep hearing them tags throughout. That's a tag. That means they didn't purchase it.
Okay, and then. So what's the process of, like, you taking some words on a paper, giving it to an artist, and then it being played worldwide? What's your musical process? Because this is, like, your business. So what's one of your business processes?
Well, basically, what you asking me, how I come up with it?
Or how you take it from it's something that you've written down with words to it being produced on the internet.
Okay, basically, all right, we'll write the song, and I look for different artists with a certain sound because it got to sound like how I want it. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Joel Love that went there at Prairie View.
At Prairie View? I don't know. I can look him up.
I feel like he was the most talented singer there, and he had the voice that I like. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write this for him, and I'm going to get in contact with him. So I wrote the song. I presented it to him. He made some changes, which is that's how it goes. Cause they're gonna fit it to make it fit their style. So that's basically what it is in a nutshell.
And how did you get in touch with Joel? And I remember you told me that you got your first big break by a DJ from Prairie View. And I guess you can just tell us about that too.
Oh yeah, my first big break was from DJ Chose, because just like the music industry, not too many people want to give you a chance. And I reached out to Chose, and he was like, I sent him an email. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get in the music industry. I see that you're popular and you're the DJ and all this. It took him like 2 weeks to reply, but I got an email back. He was like, I like your music. You got potential. We just need your better quality, because I was, like I said, I was just recording off a laptop. So he sent me his address. He was like, come to my house, which I was waiting in Brookshire. That's kind of far from PV. I was going to the Boondocks. So we got in there. We made a song called Drop It Down Dip. We made another song, but I can't say the title because it's kind of vulgar. But yeah.
Okay. So, and from there, what has happened? Like, you got on with DJ Chose, and like, what has been happening for you? Because I know when I go on your Instagram, you doing some stuff. I just saw you. I think that was your wife. Y'all was on some. I don't know. It was some stuff going on. I'm like, what is going on now? Like, fast forward from your moment with DJ Chose.
Oh, when I work with DJ Chose, like, a lot of artists started taking me real serious. That's when, once I did that song with DJ Chose, I started working with Yella Beezy, Lil Runny, Dallas G, a lot of Dallas artists. I had Pete Woods, Quinn, you know all the twerk people.
Okay. Yeah. So they reach out to you. They're like, man, I need a beat. I need a song. You give it to them. Y'all produce it together. Does your name go into it? Like, what's the legal processes behind this music? Because I think a lot of people can create content, but like the legal parts.
Yeah, the legal part, you have to register with ASCAP and TuneCore. They're for us, because it's like it's a lot. It's like a composer. You got to have the person that writes the song. Then you have the performer. So I would be the songwriter, and the composer would be the person that made the beat, and then the performer would be the person that's performing the song, like Joelle Love.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, then I think we were also talking about when you publish your music to like Netflix.
That's what goes into ASCAP, when you can you basically get a publisher off of ASCAP, and they can submit your music to like Netflix, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, all these different TV shows, so you can generate money, because you get like, I want to say, well, I guess it's different. You get 13 cents, 16 cents a stream. Like, every time somebody played a movie, you get paid. You get money in your pocket.
Okay.
Same thing with iTunes and Spotify, all that streams, and you get money off of it.
Okay, so ASCAP is like the big major one.
Yes.
ASKCAP?
No, it's ASCAP.
ASCAP. Okay, so ASCAP.
Okay. Yeah, it's you got BMI too, but I just prefer ASCAP, because I feel like it's easier.
Now, I think the next question is, when it came to you finding your purpose and you overcoming fear to just take yourself seriously, and for you to be able to hop in DJ Chose, like, inbox, email, what was your process like? How did you begin to get the confidence you needed to say, I can compose music, I can be this person that writes for artists nationwide?
Whew. I would say friends that I was are surrounded by at PV. Like, they told me I can do it. I didn't want to do it, but they told me I can do it. Like, I'm a very shy person, so it's probably why my voice kind of jittery, because I'm shy even though we on video chat. But yeah, I would just say my friends, they always encouraged me that I can do it, and that's what I should do. So I just took that step.
Okay. And now, I remember us talking, and you said there was a moment where you stopped and your wife had to tell you, let's get back to it. What was going on in those moments where you did stop and like you weren't able to produce, and like what was going on in those moments?
Yeah, I just feel like at one point in time, I just felt like, dang, after I had my kid, I just felt like, dang, I don't get no support no more. Maybe because I'm on a different pedestal. Because when you marry, people look at you different. Mm-hmm. Like, all my friends that I was around, like, don't get me wrong, some of them still here and we still chat, but it's just like, I feel like distant off. They looked at me like I was more than what I was. And I feel like I got no support. Even from family, I feel like I didn't get support. But my wife always told me, she was like, you can do it. you good at this, you got this, because I was getting discouraged because I'm like, maybe I'm not good enough. That's probably why people not supporting me in the whole nine. So, yeah.
And I think we talked about support, like in Houston. What is the environment there when it comes to music? Like, when people are pursuing their dreams, what's like the climate there?
I mean, I love my city. We got them. I feel like we should be number one in the top for the cities in music, but we have too much talent. We have too much talent, but I feel like it's like everybody going against each other instead of working together. And I feel like that's what's putting us in the bottom. Like, we have people on a higher pedestal. They don't want to see the young people make it because we taking food out of their mouth, but we all trying to feed our family. We all want to get paid off of music. Music can go around. Everybody can be a part of everybody's fan base.
With a quick Rich message Homie Coin, from our sponsors. Chef Thug,
Kelly Callion, you can be all their fans. You ain't just got to submit to one person. And I guess that's what they're not understanding.
Well, when you have been producing, because you said, hey, like, I got friends that support me, it kind of dwindled off, but then I now have friends that are supporting me. What type of events, what type of things do you think would actually encourage a supportive environment in Houston, Texas, if we can have the conversation?
Basically, I would say like a event, a songwriting event where artists that can perform for free, because we have clubs out here that basically charge you to perform, but it's not really for you. It's for them. They get money off you. So they having like 40 artists and you paying $200 and you like artist number 39. And it's like once somebody perform, they leaving. If you want to help benefit the artist, you need to make sure it's ARs there, record labels there, to give them a chance so they can be seen by somebody that's in a high position. And I feel like that's what we need to bring to Houston.
Advertisements do work, because guess what? You're listening to one. Email wbfpodcast@gmail.com for our advertising inquiries. We can't wait to promote your business. And now back to the podcast episode. Okay, does that come from making connections in New York City, LA? I remember we talked about the top five cities. So, like, how do we bridge the gap between the top five cities that are, like, really good in music and, like, bringing them to Houston? And what are those top five cities?
Those top five cities are New York, LA, Chicago, Nashville, and Austin. And coming to number six, it would be Atlanta, which is where I want to go.
Okay, so you're basically saying in order for me to grow, I'm going to have to leave here and then come back.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I feel like when you're in the city, you don't get appreciated until you go out the city and make it. And then you come back to the city, then everybody want to praise you because you already made it. And then they act like, oh, yeah, we've been messing with him for all this time. No, you did. You weren't supporting me until I made it. Now you want to feel a connection with me, like you really know me and we on a...
Do you think it's just more so like the crabs in a bucket mentality, though? Because I know I've experienced that myself. Like, I'm from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and people didn't support me. And, you know, I went to Texas. I don't think people supported the kid. But then I came all the way to New York, and then I did stuff. And now when I go back, it's like, oh, Jasmine, you doing it? I'm like, I was doing it when I was here next to you.
Yeah, but you couldn't see. Big city now. You're in the big lights.
Yeah. But it's just like, why is that? That's so confusing and so weird.
That's what hurts me the most. Because I feel like all this work I'm putting in on side of you, why do I have to go elsewhere and make it for you to support me? Now you see that I'm making moves, but I've been making moves. I've been having the same kind of songs. I've been doing all this that you supporting. Why wasn't you supporting me then?
Yeah. And it's almost like the chicken sandwich. Like a lot of people did the Popeye. I didn't do it. A lot of people wanted me to do it. I didn't do it. I'm just like, right now, do I want to try the Popeye chicken sandwich? I don't know. But like, you saw so many people just support businesses that don't benefit them or their community. Yeah. Then it's That's like, the same. Hey, can you send a repost? Can you like share? Can you just do something to help me?
And that's what I understand, because a like, a share, a repost, all that is free.
Yeah.
But you give free promotion to an artist that don't even know you exist.
Yeah.
That's the hurtful part.
Yeah. It sounds like you got to be strong. If you're going to be an entrepreneur out in Houston, you got to be strong. You got to be thick-skinned. Now, in those moments when you see that your friends and your family—not, I won't say family, but we'll say it—like when your friends and family, do you like turn your face to them, or like do you still love them? How do you react when the people around you that you thought was your friends don't support you?
See, if I'm being honest, I wanted to turn my face, but my wife, she helped me see the bigger picture, so.
She said, I need some information.
Just keep it cordial. You know what it is already, but just keep it cordial. Don't turn your back on them. Just still be the same person you are. Don't change who you are.
Mm.
And get out of character.
Yeah. So what would you tell somebody that wants to be just like you? They want to write music for others. They want to produce music for others. Like, what would you tell them?
I would just say go for it. You got to go for what you want in life. And if you never take that chance, what's that little quote they always say? You miss all the shots that you don't take.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically what it is. You just got to go for it.
Okay. I think I want to talk about you being a father. Mm-hmm. And you're a father to a son. Which mm-hmm. is, you know, having a daughter, of course, it's equivalent, but you're a father to a son in a climate where, you know, people either don't respect, you know, just men in general, they don't respect the boys, women seem to get more respect. It's just a lot going on there. How are you raising your son, and how has your life changed since you have become a father?
I would say, I sucked at first, but my wife always on me, or you need to do this. But I see why sometimes I get frustrated and I'm like, man, this is too much. This is for you to do or something like that. But she always on me. Oh, he need to do this. He need to do this. His bedtime at this time. And I'd be like, I know that, but why are you telling me this? So she a big influence on my for parenting skills. I'm going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's one of those. I'm still learning. I'm not perfect. It's times where I might not show him much attention that he needs, but I'm still working on that.
Okay. I think we also talked about that too, just when you were working and then you mm-hmm. have a child, like balancing work and being a father, and mm-hmm. you know, how do you do it, and how are you balancing it?
Well, it's pretty hard for me because I work long hours, so I really only see him like what, 2 hours out of the day, or on the weekend. That's the most I would see him because I'm working long hours. I'm starting from like 9. He go to daycare at 7, so I'm starting work from 9 all the way to 8 at night. By the time I get back, he run around for like 30 minutes, and it'd be time to go to bed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. And this life that you're pursuing is going to give you more time at home. It's going to hopefully give you more time with your family. You know, what is one of the long-term goals that you have for yourself?
Long-term goal I have for myself is to really make money off of this so I can be at home all the time. I ain't got to worry about clocking in and clocking out or being late to work because I'm my own boss.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they'll definitely give me more time with the family.
Okay. I remember we were talking, and again, you guys, I know I'm saying it a lot, but before every interview, I always just get a feel of the individual that I'm talking to, just so I know what we're going to talk about during the episode. So when we're on the episode, if we tend to forget some things, I just remember what we talked about. We talked about how R. Kelly, he didn't have rights to his music.
Yeah.
So how do you ensure that someone does have rights to their music?
Yeah, that goes along with ASCAP. Well, when you go through ASCAP, they're basically copyrighting your music, your sounds, and everybody getting their percentage. I don't think R. Kelly did that because he don't own none of the rights to his music. So that's basically why he's doing shows. Because that's the only thing he would get paid for, like appearances. Because all that music is owned by somebody else.
Wow. We ain't even going to speak on R. Kelly. We don't, listen, I don't even know what to say there. When it comes to, like, we know in the future you want to work with some big names. Chris Brown, you know. Facts. All of these big name artists, what do you think is going to take from you right now today producing in Houston to to those big name artists? What is the in between that you think you have to go through in order to get there?
I feel like I would have to travel most definitely and like look at tour dates or where they're going to be at. I'm going to have to find that niche to get in front of them. That's all it is to it. It's basically just networking or try contacting somebody that know them, their manager or something. Let them know what I'm trying to do and basically give a pitch through an email and hopefully you get a response.
Okay.
It's like Instagram, inbox and DM. But I don't think that works though.
So how can we leverage our PV connection, Meg Thee Stallion? How can we leverage that? Because she up in there.
Ooh,
as well as what's his name?
50K a verse.
Huh? 50K a verse?
50K a verse.
That's how much y'all can get paid?
Mm-hmm. That's how much artists get paid. Once you make a big name, you get 50K a verse.
Drake Whoa. Is on. Okay, y'all. That's where look, I finally got to some tea on this episode. So 50K a verse?
50K a verse.
Woo! So if you were to write for Meg Thee Stallion, she would pay you 50K for the verse.
Mm-hmm. And that's how much she charged to get on somebody's song.
That's how much she charged?
Yeah, for now. It might go up because she's booming.
Okay, so what? How much is the music industry? Because I don't know. Jazz don't know. We need to know. How much are people getting paid out here?
A lot. I guess it just depends on the artist and the song. But you have different artists like Drake. He charged 100K. 2 Chainz charge 100K for a verse. That's just for the verse, not the video. You got to charge. You got to pay extra for the video.
Wow.
So
not a video.
Yeah, video.
YouTube.
Yeah, for a music video, you gotta pay them to be in the video for their appearance.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. Yo, they making people salaries, well, triple people salaries.
In one go around.
Yeah,
wow.
For like 30 seconds.
Okay. I think it's important that we just bring about like the entrepreneurship structure. So one, you got to have a platform. That's your social media following. That's whoever, however people find you, your platform. That's how many people is right there willing to buy and support you. Then it's your products and services. I believe for you, it would be like the music that you write for others or, you know, your services that you give and then your systems, I guess. When you send emails and when you use social media to DM, or what's another way for you to like in the future make money while you sleep with the systems that you have?
That would be the placements. You can make money while you sleep while people streaming music. Like I got a couple of songs on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Somebody going to stream that song while I'm asleep, I'm getting the check for that.
Wow. Okay. I think this was very insightful. I didn't know people was getting 50K a verse. Listen, Pat, you got to get 50K a verse, my man. You, listen, I can't wait for the day. You like, hey, will you let me know? Will you be like, Jazz, I did it. I got 50K a verse. And I'm going to be like, this is freaking lit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know when it happened.
I'm trying to get Chris Brown.
That's probably 100K. One thing I learned is, like, when I was in L.A., one of my friends, E.G. Yama, she was telling me, she was like, when you go to L.A., just hop in everybody's DMs. Whoever they're following, talk to them. See if they can get you closer to that person. And she was just like, when you go to L.A. or when you go to these places, there really is no other place other than this. You've gone as far as you can go. Because, you know, if you're in Texas, it seems like they're so far away because maybe they don't live there. But when you're in their element, it's nothing but a DM or a network. You're like literally one or two people away from just changing your whole entire life.
Right.
It's just the motivation. It's just
getting there. I think some people would be scared to do that. And I'm one of them. I'm not going to even front. I'm one of them. But now that I know where I need to be, that's what I got to do to get where I want to be. So yeah. I'm shooting my shot.
Shoot your shot. That's really it. Shoot your shot. If you want something, shoot it. These people are on their Instagram accounts. I love Instagram. People be like, Jasmine, if I got to talk to you, I'm talking to you through Instagram. Well, that's where I am. That's what you should do. If you don't have my number, you can actually do that. And you guys, people be having their whole email and their Instagram, their whole phone number. You can legit call. I called this millionaire one time. And he answered, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I think his name was Les Brown. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he actually answered. And he was like, yeah, I got to call you back. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this was really you. So, like, it's you literally one phone call away from just talking to the people that you want to talk to. You just
gotta What's his number?
Got something to say. let me tell you about this podcast that I follow. The podcast that I follow is called The Millionaire. Hold on, let me go to my podcast app. Library. It is called, where is it at? My shows. Oh, Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs with Brother Bedford. So I think I was listening to an episode, maybe it was Simon T. Bailey or it was with Les Brown, and I literally went to Les Brown's website and it had a number and I called it and it was him. And I was just like, he was like, hello, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's you. Like like I completely like went, I guess, starstruck. But I wasn't even supposed to be nervous because it's just another human being. But right. He was just like, oh, well, just give me a call back in another hour because I'm on a coaching call. Now, I didn't call him back because honestly, I didn't know that it was really on his number. I thought it was going to be his assistant or something. But it was actually him. So I think that's how close you are away, Pat, to talking to these people. You are literally that close.
Yup. I'm trying to get insecure. I'm trying to hit her up.
With Issa Rae?
Yup.
So I'm my friend, E.G. Yama, I think she has a connection where she went to something with Yvonne Orji. Like, to get to them, I think you got to go through all her friends to get to Issa. I think it's so possible. And this girl on my Twitter, she has, like, these candles and stuff. She goes to my church, and pretty much she was in the midst of giving up. She was at church, she was praying, and she looked on her phone and she got a notification that Issa Rae had purchased some of her candles and promoted her on her social media.
Wow.
So I'm literally telling you that you are so close if you just keep going and never give up.
Yeah. Most definitely.
You got the goat on your hat right now, y'all. Y'all can't see it, but he got the GOAT on his hat. Greatest of all time. You wearing it.
Yep.
I'm
coming for that title.
Come for the title, man. So listen, we just trying to fill some time now. Like, what has been one of your most favorite projects that you worked on before I just get to the end of our episode?
I would say Working on Me, a song I did with Keith Butler. I feel like that's my favorite one so far.
Keith Butler. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta check him out.
It's like a It's on iTunes. I feel like that was like he sounded like Chris Brown and August Alsina kind of mixed together. And I feel like his voice was amazing on that.
Hold on. Let me see. I'm about to pull it up. We can listen to some of this. Is it Keith King Butler, Madagascar? Is that the dude?
That's the artist, but it's a song called Working on Me.
Working on Me. Okay. Yeah. Let me go to my iTunes so we can just listen to it for a little second. Because it's a podcast and we can do what we want on here. Working on Me, Keith Butler. And it wouldn't be fair if we talked about his music and we didn't even listen to it. All right. Uh-oh. Let's press play.
Things, but I wasn't listening. You win my pride, I fell sometimes, but you gave me a chance again. Girl, I'm working on me, I'm working on me, I'm working on me, I'm working on me. Those tears you cried hurt me inside, can't have you hurt again. Girl, I'm working on me.
Hit me nacha, hit me nacha. Don't mean to make you feel like I don't want ya. I know we going through some changes. Didn't mean to make you feel like I love me rearranging. Always been around for me, never ever let me down. Let me wipe them tears, baby, I won't let them hit the ground. No thoughts better cross your mind. But listen, I'm fighting, girl, that mountain I'll climb for you.
Okay, one, this sounds good. And I'm literally looking at the cover art for this, and it says Prince Archie, the writer, presents Keith Butler Working on Me, and I see Prince Archie's logo at the very bottom. So this is literally one of his productions, and you wrote this song.
Yes.
Dang. Okay, so listen. If somebody wants to work with you, if somebody needs, they're an artist, they're struggling, obviously, like, how can someone work with you, Prince the writer, Prince Archie?
Well, they can follow me on Instagram, P-A the writer, that's P-A-T-H-E, writer, W-R-I-T-E-R. Okay. Or you can email me at imprincearchie@gmail.com.
Okay. And you guys will work together. What would be, like, what are some of the things that you do for them? You work with them. What would you do? Just tell us all. So get your advertisement in there.
Well, far as, like, I just want somebody that's hungry and that's want to do it. Like, I don't want nobody that's just going to do it for fun. Like, this, well, they can do it for fun, but this is business at the end of the day. If you're trying to become an artist for real, and you're trying to get to the next level, then that's what I'm trying to work with.
Okay.
And for me to write a song for you, I just need to know what's your style. Like, where do you want to go? How you want to be labeled? What's your presentation that you want to give to the world? Is it pop, R&B, hip hop? Basically your image. That's all I need. And then we work from there.
Okay. And you guys, this was such a good episode. Like, you all got to know a little bit more about the Prince himself. One, how committed he is. I think we all need to work with committed men. Men that say what they mean what they say, and they do what they say they're going to do. Also, if you ever need any lyrics, any production services, he's the guy. And I always ask a really important question on the show, which is, what does walking by faith mean to you?
Walking by faith is basically being blind to what you don't even know, but you're just expecting the positive out of it. That's just like with getting married early. I didn't know what to expect, but I just had to adjust to what happened after that. Like, you're never going to be ready for anything. You just got to adjust.
I think that's
what I always tell my wife.
That's a word there. You're not going to ever know. You kind of just take that leap. Mm-hmm. You adjust accordingly.
Right.
Wow. Okay. You guys, this has been another episode on the Wild by Faith show. I am completely excited and thankful that we had our special guest here today. And you guys follow him on all social media platforms. Just give one more shout out to what they are.
Instagram, Twitter, is PA the writer, PATHEWRIT. Scratch that. I definitely spelled that wrong, and I'm supposed to be a writer. PATHEWRITER.
Okay. Y'all, listen, he know how to spell. Don't worry about that. Okay. And just shout out to all the PV Panthers. Shout out. I'm dedicating this whole show to Prairie View, to people that's following their dreams, to a better Houston, to people that will support each other, to an environment where we will support each other just like we supported Popeyes and or all these other chicken companies. And you guys, make sure you like, share, subscribe, support him, go follow him. Send him business if you got a friend that know how to sing but don't got no words to put behind it. And that's what I really need from y'all today. So, in other words, y'all have a great Wednesday. Y'all keep tuning in week after week to the Wild by Faith Show with your girl, The Pretty Plug. And we will see you again. Talk to y'all later.
If you want more content like this, make sure you give the Walk by Faith podcast a 5-star rating and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at __ThePrettyPlug and follow all updates on the podcast at WBF Podcast. To those already supporting the show with a monthly subscription, thank you. If you're not already a supporter and you'd like to help make this show possible, tap the link in this episode's description or visit anchor.fm/jasmine-a-stith to become a monthly supporter. That's all, folks. Tune in next week for another episode on the Walk by Faith Show.